Thank you for downloading this edition of the MBS podcast. This is part three of a three-part series, The Nosebleed Seats, in New Orleans for WrestleMania 30. In parts one and two, I had stated that this only part three was recorded following the death of the Ultimate Warrior. However, I come to you today with another bit of sad news. We lost one of our own on... The news came out Thursday that a New Midwest original, former Central Illinois champion, Tokas Steve Fisher, died tragically at his home in an accidental fall. He was only 34 years old. Tokas Steve's in-ring career lasted about 8 years, and entirely within New Midwest Wrestling, he had never wrestled outside the promotion. I just recently learned that he was in training to make a comeback and would be wrestling for Pinfall Wrestling Association, which would have been the first time that he ever wrestled outside of New Midwest. Unfortunately, that will never happen. Details were sketchy, but... Family was trying to locate him after not hearing from him for about a week, and sent local authorities to his home for a welfare check where he was discovered. We at the MBS would like to send our condolences to the Fisher family, and we also plan to do a tribute episode for Tokas Steve on a future edition of the MBS TV. There will be a ceremony to honor Tokas Steve at Pinfall Wrestling Association this weekend, April the 26th, at the JC's Activity Center, 2525 South 12th Street in Springfield. Visitation and a funeral is going to be held in Metamora, Illinois, on Monday and Tuesday. Metamora is... Just east of Peoria, where he is originally from. So, sad news for Central Illinois wrestling fans everywhere. We are going to go into part three officially of the MBS podcast to New Orleans, but first we're going to play Tokas Steve's theme music. The track he had used, whether he was in singles competition or tag team action, was by the Beastie Boys, and it's called Sabotage. So we shall play this track in honor of our fallen warrior of the ring, and we'll be right back.
Yes.
All right, before we go any further with the MBS podcast, I need to correct the record a little bit with in regards to part two and all the cut-ins that I made making a commentary on what I was being browbeaten with in regards to WrestleCon. It was just Chris Lee giving me the hard time about WrestleCon and not Mauve. Mauve was stated that, pointed out that he was not the one rushing me out of WrestleCon, but it was just, I thought I had directed all my fire to one person, being Chris Lee, but appears that I caught Mauve in some of that friendly fire. So I wish to apologize to Mauve for making that mistake. Also, I do want to point out, I don't have any, I'm not angry or have any ill will towards my colleague Chris Lee for what went on with WrestleCon, but lesson learned, don't try to tape a podcast at 3 a.m. in the morning when one person's dead tired and another person's under the influence, because that is not a good combination. Also want to note that I did not know that Chris and Mauve attended WrestleCon at sometime during WrestleMania 25 weekend. Did not know that. I thought they never went to WrestleCon before and just went to WWE Fan Access. But now that I know that whole fact, maybe I would have chose a different activity to do that particular Saturday morning. But that's it for my corrections for the MBS podcast, and we will take a quick break.
Hey, WWE Universe, I'm AJ Lee. And though I may be a little out there sometimes, I pride myself on always being smart and safe. In becoming the WWE's most powerful diva, I had to train very hard and learn from some of the best in the world. So the action that you see us perform in the ring should never be imitated at home or in school. So be smart and be safe, and don't try this.
Catch the Nosebleed Seats TV on demand anytime. Just go to stlwc.lip.tv. Select your episode, watch, and enjoy the show. The MBS TV on stlwc.lip.tv.
Welcome to part three of our New Orleans special edition MBS podcast. I'm the Mad Conservative Crime Fighter. Joining me, Mr. Corps for Active Vigilance 5706. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Crime Fighter? We're finally back in the wonderful city of Decatur, Illinois. And I am thrilled to be back here. It's so much better than New Orleans, I gotta tell you. It's cold, there's nothing to do, I love it.
Yeah, and we experienced the train ride from Hades as
Not Jason Hades, though. Just regular Hades. Like hell. I wouldn't even say Hades. I would say hell, because Hades is not nearly as bad as hell in the mythologies, respective.
Right. Just note briefly, we had to... there's some high winds down in Louisiana, and the tracks were blocked by some fallen trees, and we had to wait for a backhoe to show up and move them off the tracks for us to get to...
There were three fallen trees?
Yeah, three.
Yeah, so we had to get, they had to call for an emergency car, and then they had to move all three of the trees. So, it wasn't a bad train ride, though. It was just longer than it was possibly. I didn't really have any complaints. The other problem on the train ride was a gentleman from Carbondale, Illinois, who ended up having to get dropped off 45 minutes south of Jackson, Mississippi. I can't remember the
now
term.
He did get dropped off at Jackson.
Get dropped off at Jackson then? Well, that's still pretty far south. This gentleman was from Carbondale, Illinois, and they just took his bags, took him, and threw him off of the train. And you know how long it is from Carbondale to Jackson, Mississippi. So, unfortunate for him, but...
Well, it's also unfortunate because, you know, he was bragging about his kids, too, so,
yeah,
bad situation there.
But this guy wasn't just a normal drunk. He was touching people and provoking people verbally. It wasn't just, it wasn't even just swearing, and there was a lot of that, but it was actually provoking people, and,
Yes, if you get on a train, I mean, don't, overindulge yourself in adult beverages. Now, I thought he did that right before he got on the train and made one last stop on Bourbon Street before. But wasn't the case. But
they just kept on feeding him drinks, and unfortunately, you have to. If you don't know your own limits, you probably shouldn't be testing them on a train for the first time. I mean, I know there are people that could probably drink as much as that gentleman and not be a problem at all. They'd probably just go to sleep, or they might get a little bit louder. But this gentleman got pretty belligerent.
All right, well, moving on, I do want to mention we have a surprise guest that happened to be on the train with us that I talked to yesterday, and that will be in the second half of this interview. We had Terry Hopper, was from Effingham, Illinois, former referee. We last had him on a podcast years ago when Ed Schumann, he appeared jointly with Ed Schumann way back when, but... leading off, woke up this morning and shock news, the Ultimate Warrior had collapsed outside of an Arizona hotel and was pronounced dead at the hospital at the age of 54 one night after appearing on Monday Night Raw.
Right. I literally heard about it way early in the morning. It might have even been before, but I heard he was dead probably about 1 in the morning or so. So I'm not quite sure when it happened.
It was late last night. It was actually the first posting of this news occurred about 11 p.m.
And that's when I think I heard about it. Some guy we had been talking to on the train had come and told me about it as he was passing through the lounge car. I was in the lounge car reading. So
yeah, and just a couple days after watching him... get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, make an appearance at WrestleMania 30, and then I guess we can call it his farewell speech on Monday Night Raw, although I don't know if he knew he was going to be leaving us that quickly, but sad.
He lived a long and full life. I just think about his kids, because his kids were mentioned a lot during the Hall of Fame speech, and they didn't appear to be full grown to me, and that's what really is the saddest part about this, I think.
Well, we also experienced WrestleMania 30 and Monday Night Raw.
Sunday started out with us being woken up by our... I guess the person who owned the timeshare. I can't quite describe where we stayed. It was kind of like a bed and breakfast, kind of like a house, but we still had other guests there. The person who ran the timeshare cooked us bacon and eggs and biscuits, and we ate. And then I'm pretty sure we went straight to WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We rode the ferry across the bay and river. Well, not the bay, the river. And we slowly made our way out to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and we had to wait in line for a freaking hour. I mean, the doors opened at a certain time, but...
And then once we got in the building, Steven was smart enough to go up a floor and circumvent the traffic. I had got gridlocked. Chris had the same case. Chris was able to break away and get to his seat a little bit before me. I actually had to, because I was being pushed up into the walls, had to go into the hallway of a female bathroom as to not get crushed. And then I made a rash decision and just cut through the female bathroom and then cut through a couple male bathrooms. And that's how I got around the crowds. It was not well trafficked. Part of that was there were handicapped people there, and they were trying to go through with the normal crowd, and they should have been let in earlier. They should have been let in an hour earlier before everyone else. They should have had special privileges, because it would have just helped everyone out.
I think also part of the problem is most of the crowd tried to enter through Champions Square, and the other entrances to the Superdome had far less traffic.
Yeah. As far as WrestleMania, I think you guys have all seen WrestleMania. I don't want to go match by match through results. I will say Daniel Bryan, all his wins that night were pretty emotional. I don't think there was a bad moment of the whole card. I really don't. Great experience. Everyone around us was great. When Undertaker's shoulders went down for the three, I was shocked. I literally thought it was a two count and it was some kind of angle.
Yeah, part of the problem was, as I mentioned with, as we'll talk about with Terry Harper later, we never got a replay, and the bell was barely audible, and the referee was just waving his arms and, like, not raising anybody's hands, and the graphic went up just almost immediately.
Yeah, it was very confusing. Hopefully Undertaker is all right. We have heard that Vince McMahon rode with the Undertaker to the hospital. I know he's also got a wife and several children, and, you know, we did not get a speech from the Undertaker the next night at Raw. So hoping to see him back on TV, if not at least to give a speech very soon.
Yeah, reportedly he suffered a concussion early in the match between Brock and himself, and Brock literally had to guide Taker through the remainder of the match.
Moving on to WrestleMania, we had two big winners. We've mentioned Brock, obviously a big winner ending the streak, and Daniel Bryan, the big winner, double champion. I posed the question, I don't know if I ever got Crime Fighter's answer. If you had to book backwards from your main event, if you knew what your main event was for WrestleMania 30, what do you think or want that main event to be? Chris said either Rock and Brock or Brock and Cena because of the drawing power of those big names. I thought Daniel Bryan and Brock would be a logical thing because they were the two big winners. Crime Fighter, if you had to book backwards knowing your WrestleMania 31 main event, what do you think that main event would be?
At this point, my WrestleMania 31 main event, that's going to be hard to figure out, because part of me, we thought that if we were going to have Undertaker Sting for WrestleMania 31, that's out the window. We're supposed to have Rock Brock for 30, and Rock got injured during his WrestleMania 29 match, so that was out the window. A year in advance is a long time, and I really don't know what is going. It's going to be hard to just book backwards from SummerSlam.
Right. Well, they used to do it every year in the early WrestleManias. They started with Hogan. You know, they knew Hogan versus Savage was going to be the main event for WrestleMania 5 before it happened. Same thing with WrestleMania 3, Andre Hogan. They knew a year in advance, and they built it up like that. So I'd have to say you take your two big winners from this year and you make them the main event.
They're talking that Bryan and Brock are gonna clash well before WrestleMania 31. Yep. And Brock may even take the title from him.
That was kind of my feeling too when Chris mentioned his pick for the WrestleMania 31 main event is you have Daniel Bryan hold the titles all the way till SummerSlam or Survivor Series, and then you have Brock face for the championship. Brock performed really well last year at, was it Survivor Series or SummerSlam against CM Punk? I can't remember which. But I thought that was the match of the year last year, Brock versus Punk. And I think they could have an equally good contest, and I can see Brock winning.
Well, potential challengers to, you know what? Here's a possibility: Daniel Bryan versus Antonio Cesaro.
Yeah, that's true too. I don't know. I think I think they're going to possibly, after Batista and Randy Orton and Triple H get through, Cesaro is going to get put into a program with Daniel Bryan, but I think Daniel Bryan will get past him.
And that was a highlight from that weekend, Cesaro winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal 31 man. I thought Big Show was going to win it, but Cesaro, in a tribute, hearkening back to WrestleMania 3, body slammed Big Show out of the ring. Nobody, not hardly anybody can pick up the Big Show, but Cesaro did it.
Right, and when you talk about comparisons between Andre the Giant, of course there's the thing where Big Show's a big guy. Okay, we all get that. It's visual. But you've got a guy coming over here from a foreign country, living the American dream in Cesaro. And I think you can make an equal comparison. He's not big stature-wise, but when you talk strength, you know, I don't know if there's a guy pound for pound stronger than Cesaro in the company, except for maybe John Cena. And who's to say? And Cesaro versus John Cena is definitely a match we'd like to see again. That was great on Raw. Speaking of Cena, he defeats
Bray Wyatt. Yep.
On his own. But absolutely, I don't want to say not absolutely, but a pretty clear victory on Monday Night Raw. Crowd was great at Monday Night Raw. Before we get to Monday Night Raw, I slept most of the day. I like to point out Crime Fighter is a trooper. He's the only one who's been on all three podcasts and recorded for the documentary. Chris had to cut out for this, and I was just too tired to go to the documentary. I walked down to a local grocery store where we were staying, got me beef po' boy and an oyster po' boy, a soda, stopped for a beer on the way back, and ate my food, and it was time for Raw.
Yeah, and you missed the the bizarre sight of a dog in a coffin where two bums were soliciting donations to bury this dog. The only thing was, this dog was still alive and just very good at playing dead.
Yeah. Well, and we failed to mention two nights in a row after Raw, we went to this sports bar, wasn't bad, called
Walk-Ons.
They were doing a podcast there for a radio show for Sirius XM.
And I'll go ahead and mention the name. Busted Open was the name of the show. We listened into some of that and listened to the locals comment on the outcome of WrestleMania 30. It was awesome to hear. But, should we move on to Monday Night Raw, or do we have anything else we want to say about WrestleMania 30?
I don't think there's much else to say. I mean, people have seen the results, and they can form their own opinions. I don't have much more to say about the crowd or anything else.
I do note that I'm glad Bryan won the title. If he did not win the title, and that was combined with the streak, I would have said that would have been the most unsatisfying WrestleManias.
Yeah, it would have just been too much.
Monday Night Raw. Monday, we did hike, as Moe mentioned, hiked around. Moe slept in. We hiked around the downtown area, getting a few last interviews for the documentary while shopping. And it was fun to do that. We met a number of people from a number of countries. Quite a number from England, but we've actually encountered folks from Australia and Japan on our walks. But after that was all done, we headed out. We came back to pick you up, and we walked back to the Superdome area, this time across the street. Smoothie Center, where the Hall of Fame was held, and it was easier to get in this building.
Definitely. Monday Night Raw, the pre-show was the taping of Superstars. We had
Kofi Kingston taking on Titus O'Neil, and apparently Kofi got hurt.
That was the second match of it, but we also had Dolph Ziggler versus Ryback, with Ryback beating him with his finishing maneuver. Kind of weird to see where Dolph Ziggler is opening the pre-tape of Raw with superstars. I guess it hypes the crowd up, but that guy is just going nowhere compared to where people thought he was going to be. Maybe 2 years ago, we were talking about, oh, this guy's the future of the business, WrestleMania main eventer. And now it just like looks like he's a guy going to be used the rest of his career to build people up unless something changes. However, with a personality that strong, you can put him in the main event at any time. So,
And Dolph Ziggler still has oodles and oodles of fan support, and they want him to be pushed. He has the cult-like following like Daniel Bryan, just not as strong as Daniel Bryan at this point.
Right, but anytime you want to interject that guy into the main event or any place in the card, I think he fits in. He's got the size where, like, you can believe him as an undercard guy, but he's got the skill and the ability where you put him in the main event of pretty much any of the lesser pay-per-views, and I think people are going to buy it. I don't think you could... You really have to build the guy back up for him to be, like, the main event of a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania.
So. What would change things for Dolph Ziggler is he wins a Money in the Bank briefcase.
Right. And
Another one.
Who's to say if they're... Are they doing that pay-per-view again this year?
I don't know. Wouldn't doubt they wouldn't have one down the line, but and thankfully, because there isn't any briefcases floating around, nobody, we don't have to worry about Daniel Bryan having his title like taken away.
Right. I kind of hope now that the titles are unified, they eliminate the Money in the Bank. They just put out the Money in the Bank anthology with every single match on there. I think it's not... The concept was good, but I think it's outstayed its welcome.
Okay. Monday Night Raw begins, and Daniel Bryan comes out with the title celebration. And, of course, Triple H comes out and gets cursed out by the crowd.
Yeah, we haven't heard an asshole chant in quite a while on Monday Night Raw, but we got one this Monday. So... Crowd was definitely not for Triple H. We got a Daniel Bryan chant for which seemed like a good 3 minutes straight, including the yes chants, but just a plain old Daniel Bryan chant. It was a good moment. It was a good moment.
And we thought we were going to get a rematch between Bryan and Triple H for the main event of Raw. That didn't happen.
No. That's what was slated, but you all saw what happened, so I'm not going to go into further detail on that. I'm not quite sure where it cut off from Raw to the WWE Network, but there was also a speech afterwards, and I'm guessing that was probably part of the Raw post show.
Yep. And the Shield also spoke out, but Daniel Bryan finally has some muscle behind him, so shenanigans by the Authority is... not going to go running loose completely unchecked.
Yeah. I don't think a guy can, or a group, or a faction, or an individual can turn completely without that speech that the Shield gave. Even last night, you could buy them as heels, but soft heels is what I like.
Loose cannons.
Loose cannons maybe that want to do whatever they want. Now I think they've actually got the fans completely on their side and have accepted that they're fan favorites. And good to see that we've got another heel faction. I think we got Shield going against the Wyatt family at one of the pre-tapings. I think the SmackDown main event, not SmackDown main event.
Main event
is the name of the show before SmackDown. The main event is going to be Wyatt's versus the Shield again. So, I really like how they're building up the main event show. I really do. They have some really great matches that mean something. Speaking of main events for SmackDown, Cesaro upset Big Show in many people's eyes, and that's just who he's facing. So I'm really wanting to hear the comments from Big Show afterwards. Big Show was formerly a Paul Heyman guy. Paul Heyman actually you turned on Brock Lesnar to get Big Show the belt years ago. So we got two Paul Heyman guys against one another. I don't know if you wouldn't call Big Show a Paul Heyman guy anymore, but, you know, ECW title was also given to Big Show years ago when ECW came back and Rob Van Dam got stuck in his situation. Speaking of Rob Van Dam, we had Damian Sandow come out, I think the third match of the card, and the surprise guest was Rob Van Dam, did a standard Rob Van Dam match, as you would call it, got the crowd into it, really fun time. Now that we're talking about Bray Wyatt, the thing I would comment the most about that was how great the Raw crowd was during the Wyatt versus Cena, Big E, and Sheamus match.
And you said that the crowd singing to his music, John Cena Sucks, was something that was uniquely a European thing, and it just hadn't happened in the United States.
Yeah, it's the da-da-da-da. I have heard overseas the crowd sings along with John Cena Sucks. And I had heard that on European tapes before, YouTube and the like, and it just had never made it over to the States. And fun time last night hearing that. Maybe it'll be a permanent thing, because it's certainly better than John or Cena Sucks after Let's Go Cena, because you can't go Let's Go Cena after people are going John Cena Sucks. You can't cover it up.
And I was watching the Wyatts when everybody was chanting everything into that match, and Bray Wyatt was just pacing the apron, just eating it up.
Yeah, he very great reaction from Wyatt with that. We did get a lot of, I don't know if the people saw the vignettes last night either. Speaking of Bray Wyatt, I'd move on to his brother in real life, not in character, but Bo Dallas looks like he's coming back to the main show too with those vignettes.
Yeah, he had that match with, he had a short feud with Wade Barrett last year, but went back to NXT. It looks like he's going to be here a little bit long term this time around.
Yeah, let's hope. I like the vignette. We also had Adam Rose. Speaking of another NXT star, the NXT Women's Champion came out to challenge AJ, and AJ put the title on the line. Looked like it was going to be a quick match with AJ locking on her submission finisher. A quick reversal. Well, not a quick reversal. A surprise reversal into Paige's finish. Got the 1-2-3, and now we have a double champion in Paige. There haven't been two women's titles in the WWE at one time before.
Not for a long time, anyway.
Was the women's title around when the Divas title was around?
Yeah, and they just unified them and retired the women's title and just kept the Divas title. Okay. But now we have the NXT Divas title.
This is the first double championship since what? Beth Phoenix, maybe? Or I can't remember who won the double title.
I can't either.
Back when they're unified, but me and Crime Fighter were really excited when that happened. Much of the crowd was excited for that, and they were abuzz afterwards at the sports bar we went to about that. I think as far as like moments for that Raw, that was probably my favorite moment for that Raw, just getting to see that.
I do also want to note Wade Barrett got a great reaction. The crowd was solidly behind him against the usual fan favorite, Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio's been kind of put in that position to make guys look good but not get cheered. You know, I don't like heel Rey Mysterio, but it might just turn that way. I don't get the hate. Like, it's been happening ever since Money in the Bank when CM Punk won the championship. The crowd wasn't behind him then. I don't know if it's just because he's getting older or hasn't been put in the main program or people are getting tired of him or what. I think I'd like to see one last big run from Ray where he is cheered by the fans and goes out on top. But I think at this point, you're either, you know, I don't see them turning him, but you're going to have to find some way to get him more cheers or make the fans care about him some more, or he's just going to be relegated to I hate to see a guy like that who's been a champion, world heavyweight champion, and WWE champion, although it was very short-lived, because John Cena got it back, I think, like a week later, and then went on to face CM Punk for the title at SummerSlam. I don't know. Kind of disappointing. I don't want to see Ray end his career on the bottom. I'd like to kind of see him be at least upper mid-card before he hangs up the boots.
And he's been plagued by injuries and stuff. Was there anything you were expecting to happen at Raw that didn't happen?
No. I even said before the show I didn't think Sting was going to show up. So I know a lot of people did say Sting was going to show up, but I didn't think it was going to happen.
I think the writing was on the wall when Taker lost at Mania that Sting was not going to show up.
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Well, if there was the predictions of Sting Taker for WrestleMania 31.
There's been that prediction since 29, though. I think that had nothing to do with it, just my opinion.
Okay. Is that all? Is anything else that you thought would happen that did not happen?
I really like this both speeches from Paul Heyman. I know Chris was a little confused why you would put Paul Heyman with Cesaro when Cesaro was already over, and
I forgot about that. Yeah, that his two promos were awesome.
And the only thing I can think of is I don't think the lines of good guy and bad guy are blurred once again. People just like who the better athlete is this time around. I think in the Attitude Era, it really was about attitude and character. And now I think the fans get behind people with either a good character or good solid in-ring action. Because Cesaro certainly doesn't have that great of a character. I think what he does in the ring has actually won people over. I think you could say the same thing with Daniel Bryan, too. He started getting over with the fans when he was doing some of the type of comedy stuff, and that was getting noticed. So I think you do have to have a combination to get to that top level, not to get over, but to get to that main event level. I think Paul Heyman will put Cesaro right over the top, because I think as good as Cesaro is and as over as he is, he does lack in individual character this time.
All right, I think we've covered everything. Is there anything else we neglected to mention?
Nope.
All right, well, that was our WrestleMania New Orleans trip in three parts. Coming up next, we have a surprise interview with referee Terry Hopper, who just happened to be on the Amtrak train riding back with us, and we'll take a quick break, and we will be talking with Terry Hopper, my interview with him on the Amtrak train. This is the Nosebleed Seats Podcast.
The Main Hangar Restaurant is your food and entertainment destination in Central Illinois. The Main Hangar offers daily specials and features with authentic Sicilian entrees for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and all-you-can-eat Sunday brunch buffet. Visit mainhangarrestaurant.net for our scheduled live music and stand-up comedy events. You can always make reservations at the Main Hangar by calling 217-421-7452. The Main Hangar Restaurant, located inside the Decatur Airport, is your food and entertainment destination in Central Illinois.
The Main Hangar Restaurant, located at 910 South Airport Road in Decatur, Illinois.
The newest tag team in local area wrestling coverage has arrived. The St. Louis Wrestling Committee, covering downstate Illinois and Missouri for the past 5 years, teams up with the new CentralIllinoisProWrestling.com, presented by the Nosebleed Seats. They bring you the latest news and information, schedule of events, interviews, and wrestling action. Check it out now at CentralIllinoisProWrestling.com and STLWrestling.LiveJournal.com.
Welcome back to the Nosebleed Seats Podcast. I'm the Mad Conservative Crime Fighter. We have a surprise guest here on the podcast. We're riding back on the Amtrak train now, and we stopping by our table on the train. Former TNA referee and Ed Schumann's right-hand man way back a few years ago before he passed. He's been a previous guest on the podcast. It's Terry Hopper.
And also, you have to mention the Illinois connection with Windy City Pro Wrestling. And lots of great things have been going on here in the wrestling world. Of course, on the way back home to good old Effingham, Illinois. And that's one of your cities in the listening area. So I just want to say hello to everyone and say hello to you, Crime Fighter. What a wonderful surprise it is seeing you here on the observation deck here on the Amtrak train as we travel back. And what a wonderful WrestleMania 30 weekend it was. Of course, I was there live in person just as you were. We saw The Undertaker suffer his first loss at WrestleMania, and what a moving experience that was. So here we are.
It was a shocking moment, but now a few days after, in the aftermath, we find out why did things turn out the way it did. Undertaker suffered a concussion early on in the match, did not know where he was or what was going on, and Brock Lesnar was, like, I don't know, guiding him throughout the remainder of the match. What are your thoughts on that?
Right, yeah, you know, I was there in person, obviously, and I was able, I had the chance to actually go back and check out what was actually shown on television and on the WWE Network, and coming at it and watching at it from a referee standpoint, Brock Lesnar won. There's no question about it. Brock Lesnar had The Undertaker backed up into the ropes and just laying the punches in, laying the punches in. Undertaker, from my perspective, he was doing everything that he could to actually even stand up. So, of course, putting on the Hell's Gate, what else can you do? He was fighting a match where he's on the ground, and he was done for. He was absolutely done for. Seeing Brock Lesnar just put The Undertaker in that third F5, I was the first two, we were even sitting there thinking, okay, he's going to kick out. We didn't even bother sitting up out of our seats on those first two. The third one, okay, it might be it. I'm almost speechless still talking about this. But here we go, Brock Lesnar, 1, 2, 3, everyone just sitting almost in like a dead silence. Then you start hearing the audience and a little bit of a BS chant till we look up on the screens and there's that 21-1. The most, it was just such a wild experience because it was so different when it happened. They didn't play Brock Lesnar's theme music afterwards. So obviously there's this controversy that's going on. Did Brock Lesnar mean to beat The Undertaker? What's going on here? And what a wonderful story it has been. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this.
Well, when I saw it live, and I was sitting to the on the right side of the arena, to the I guess the giant Jumbotron impressive display. Count 1, 2. I heard a bell, and the graphic was on the screen like almost immediately, and at first, because the referee, the behavior of the ref in the ring, he's acting like it was a two count, or he was waving it off or something, and it was a botch for botchamania highlight, but no, it was a three count. The frustrating thing was, they did not show the replay in the arena of that three count, and that's what added to the confusion, of course, the life.
Yeah.
So, people, if you're watching at home, probably saw the three count, but we had not seen it, and I still have not seen it.
It's so different being there live in person and watching what's going on and watching what's on the television or watching what's on the WWE Network, because people at home, they obviously they have the luxury of just being able to sit back in their armchairs, watch what's going on, and be able to listen to the story that the announcers are portraying here, whereas us here in the audience, of course, we don't know what's going on. But what a wonderful experience it was to be a part of. And seeing The Undertaker, I've been a lifelong fan of The Undertaker. You know, I think a lot of us, obviously, in the business, we are lifelong fans. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And we wouldn't be here on WrestleMania weekend.
Now, the other question is, Daniel Bryan winning the title, did it make up for the streak ending?
Yes. Yes. And what a wonderful journey that has been of Daniel Bryan. And again, coming from my own fan perspective here and just removing myself away from being an official and being able to enjoy everything, it's been just a great seeing it and all of the emotions that the fans have been able to live and experience and living through the Daniel Bryan story and watching him just come up from the independence that you cover, the independence that you cover, Crime Fighter, that the independence that I have been on as well, that I've been so blessed to be a part of, working up through Ring of Honor, and then finally getting into WWE and just being lambasted down throughout all of his trials and tribulations and his matches that he's had, and he finally grabs it.
Hey, y'all just had a flat.
Train's about to be derailed, yeah. But to finally see Daniel Bryan win the big one and to have all of the confetti come down and have literally 75,000 plus people in the arena all chanting in unison of yes, 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 nothing beats WWE.
All right, what have you been up to these days? Are you still reffing or have you taken a step back?
I've actually taken a step back, but tonight, the WrestleMania weekend, I was here to see some friends and to be on a support team. I've kind of taken a step back from in-ring action, and I'm really enjoying just staying in touch and currently exploring some opportunities. I know that the wrestling company that I first started out with, Windy City Pro Wrestling, they are now defunct.
Out of business?
Yes.
When did they close?
They closed a few years ago. However, there's still a great core group of wrestlers up in the Chicagoland area, and they're wrestling for a lot of the area promotions there, particularly of interest, the Chicago Sports, Chicago Style Wrestling. And, of course, you have Hunter Payne, who used to be known as Balthazar in there, Steve Boss, Mike Anthony, Acid Jazz, Polish Crippler, Willie DeBomb Richardson are some great gentlemen that I worked with in the past, and they're still continuing on. And I was able to catch a show here a few months ago and was able to catch up back with them. But you never know. You might see Terry Hopper in a WWE ring sometime soon. You might see Terry Hopper in a another ring down in the Nashville area with a gentleman by the name of Mr. Jarrett, who has just started up his own promotion again. That's going to be fun to watch. So lots of
he named
things
it.
Going on. Yeah, Global Force Wrestling, and you can check that out at globalforcewrestling.com, in addition to being right here, centralillinoisprowrestling.com.
Any chance you're going to be reffing any of the local shows? There's Zero One and IW Unlimited on your side of the state.
Yes, there's a lot of really great competition here. I was just had a chance to check out your website before we had this interview, and I was just going through all of the entire list of promotions and also seeing some of the great wrestlers that are listed on your roster page, Mississippi Madman, many others, and I got to tell you, the itch is still inside of me, and Terry Hopper might be making a return soon. You heard it here first.
Biggest frustrating thing to me over the past 12 months, we just did the MBS Awards in March. One of the toughest awards to give out was, you know, Ref of the Year, because this year
Was I even nominated? I wasn't nominated this year, was I?
Because you didn't. Did you ref in the area?
No. But I believe I was nominated for that a couple years ago. So conspicuous by his absence is Terry Hopper.
Well, there's a lot of people that, I guess, it was, some of the categories this year, it was just hard to make the cut because there was, like, so many great possibilities, and we had to narrow it down to five before he picked the winner.
Wow.
But frustrating thing about the ref of the year, since you're a ref, maybe you can explain it to me or maybe give me some, I don't know, advice or a pep talk.
Ask me anything.
Seems like I had a gripe about every official doing something stupid in the ring, like they didn't understand the rules or they made a gross error that I just was immediately calling them out on. What can be done to improve the refs in Central Illinois? It seems like everybody's kind of not, let's say, as good as they should be.
Sure, sure. One thing about me is I know that I got my start in wrestling as a ring announcer, and Sam DeCiro took one look at me and said, you really should be a referee here, and he stuck me in there, but I had to go through a lot of training to be in there, and I had to go through the same style of training as what the wrestlers do. I have to be in top physical condition myself. I have to be in top physical condition myself to even be in that ring, and I feel that a lot of referees, it's a self-awareness that comes along with it. It's being able to separate yourself as from what I am right now as a fan, and to be able to step into the referee shoes and being able to actually put on dress pants. Please, could we put some dress pants on? Can we tuck the shirt in as well? Can we exercise? Can we get around the ring? Can we slide into position? Can we actually look at the shoulders when they're down and count the three there? Can we be consistent in our counts? I could go on and on and on, but what it comes down to is training and being consistent and being in the ring and being able to go out there and do it and just put forth your best effort and being available as well. And the self-awareness, I cannot stress that enough. Being self-aware, knowing what's going on, that's what a good referee is.
Let me give you some of the pet peeves I've seen.
Sure, sure.
Hanging powder clouds. Somebody threw a powder at somebody's face behind the ref's back. The cloud of powder is hanging there. The wrestler is covered in powder. I mean, check the... The ref doesn't call it, even though it's out there for everyone to see. They're breathing in. They're choking on it. I mean...
Sure. Here's the thing. I didn't see it. I don't know who did it. The prime example, Eddie Guerrero. We didn't see it. He didn't even get hit or hit anyone with a chair. He just pretended like it. And then the referee calls. What do you do? It's almost a catch-22. If you don't see it, you can't call it.
Well, and there's another thing. The refs don't investigate anything. Like, I'd grab the other guy's hands and inspect them to see if there's powder on them. Sometimes. One occasion, a wrestler pulled a handful of power out of his hand and put it up, blasted him with himself, and then went to the mat, and the other guy got disqualified. Referee didn't check his hands or nothing.
Lots of wrestlers use talcum powder already on their hands, and the only time that you can really check guys out is right before the match and pat them down and make sure they don't have anything that they shouldn't have. Other than that, after the bell rings, it's on. So it's a fight. What are you going to do?
Here's another pet peeve. I've seen multiple occasions where a wrestler will assault an official. Ref doesn't call for the bell. He knows he's screaming in pain. He just doesn't, like, call for the match to stop and then sort it out later. He then counts the fall for the wrestler that assaulted him. I mean, have you ever had a situation where you saw something like that and wanted to take that official aside and said, what the heck were you thinking? Why won't you stand up for yourself?
Yes, yes. Many times, many, many times. There is a camaraderie in between the referees, or at least when it comes to me, I always try to make it a point to stay in touch and in contact and give advice to any aspiring referee or any fellow referee that's in this wonderful business of ours, because it only comes down to... It's constantly learning, constantly improving. What can we do to better our craft as referees and better the matches, because a great referee can make a bad match good, as well on the flip side, as you know with your pet peeves, a bad referee can make a excellent match look terrible. So it comes down to just being able to share ideas, watch tapes, and see what other referees do, and go into practice. So, yeah.
Are you training any new referees yourself, or where can refs go to, potential refs go to get trained?
I wish I could answer that right now. It really, other than going to your website, CentralIllinoisProWrestling.com, and just doing your own research on some of the area wrestling promotions out there, ask questions. By all means, ask questions. Ask the guys that are in the ring, and ask the guys that are wrestling out there, or refereeing, and ask them where do they get their start. Of course, I got my start in Windy City, but you know, they're closed down now. But there's a lot of really great promotions out there that I'm sure would love to have you be a part of their company and help train you. As for me, I'm not exactly training anyone right now, but you never know. I am looking. I am available. I am available on Facebook at facebook.com/TheRealTerryHopper.
All right. Any observations you've seen in the the local wrestling, the independent scene of late?
I'm seeing a good increase in talent out there. I'm seeing a real good core group of guys out there that they're hungry. The last time that I went to see Chicago Style Wrestling, I saw a lot of my friends that are still in the business, and I saw a lot of new guys that are really looking to make a name for themselves, and I was being asked a lot of great questions, and to get my own advice. I can see down the line if these companies really put a strong focus into what they're doing and maybe put a little more emphasis on production value. You already have a ring. Let's clean it up. Let's make sure that we have fresh paint on those ring posts. Let's make sure we have fresh tape on those ring ropes. Let's clean up the act just a little bit. You have guys that are really good in their look, like a Mississippi Madman, like Shane Rich, like Hunter Payne, that really have paid attention to themselves as wrestlers, as performers. Now let's do it all together as a company.
All right. I guess, I don't know, your thoughts on, I guess, the demise of NWA Midwest, being you were with Ed Schumann,
For a short while.
A bizarre fashion as to how the NWA imploded, and I guess the former regime, so to speak, just threw away, I guess, a large chunk of its chunk of the NWA because they didn't agree with what the NWA title was being used for or who had it, but maybe your thoughts on it.
I gotta tell you, in my opinion, one of the best-kept secrets in pro wrestling right now is a company by the name of NWA Saw, which they're based out in Tennessee, and it's run by Tony Falk. They also have an internet show, and they're produced right there with a show locally, and it's they have a lot of great things that I think some companies in the Chicago and the surrounding areas can really take a good look at, because even though they're an NWA affiliate, they're still an independent wrestling program. However, you can see that they have a nice setup, a nice studio with lights and the entrance, and a really good video production as well. I think a lot of companies can take some lessons from that. Look at the productions. There's other companies in Hollywood and Las Vegas that are really putting that focus on production and the entertainment value and the lights and getting the full total package. I feel that if an independent company wants to really put themselves out there and put themselves into a serious market, you have to present a full total package to where you're not just marketing to your family and friends that we're all used to, that those are the people that are going to be there anyway and buy a ticket and support who they're there to support. But now it's time to expand and get more of a general audience in, and it's got to come from the production in aspects.
All right. Any wrestlers you have your eye on that we need to pay attention to?
Gosh, there's a lot of them. Keep your eye on. I gotta say, I'm really curious to see what Adam Rose is going to do in WWE. I'm intrigued by that, by the character of him coming in. I really still want to see what some of the other guys that I've been working with are going to do. I want to know what Mike Anthony. There's a gentleman that has been in this business for a really long time now, and he has this thing going now where it's the, I believe it's a 7-minute challenge, to where he will wrestle a 7-minute match, and we're about to get thrown off the train here. Willie the Bomb Richardson is still great. Acid Jazz, I think all of them really have some great potential still left inside. So I really have to get back into the scene here and see what's going on.
All right. If a promoter needs a good ref and you're willing to do it, how do they get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me at on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRealTerryHopper.
All right, Terry.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Shock, shock. You're on the train that we're on, riding back, and relatively inexpensive travel.
Yeah, it's better than flying. This is actually the first time that I've had an extended train ride, and this whole trip, speaking sentimentally here, this trip has been a dedication to my late father, who... He, as his senior trip when he was in high school, they took a train ride down to New Orleans, Louisiana, and I thought, I have all the time in the world to get down there and get back. Let's have a train ride, and I've enjoyed it so much. People should really check out Amtrak. I mean, really, there's leg room here. I didn't even have to check my bags. It's just, you with him, get on the train. And here we are. So what a wonderful ride it's been.
The only negative is sleeping on the seats.
Unless you can find a seat to kind of relax in, or find a observation deck, or and just lounge out. But it's a great ride.
They did sell out all the sleeping cars. I mean,
no kidding. And you know, there's actually a lot of wrestling fans on this train going back home, as well as there was coming down to New Orleans.
All right, Terry Hopper, thank you for coming in today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of Nosebleed Seats Podcast, our series on our trip to New Orleans. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Central Illinois Pro Wrestling, and check out the website, centralillinoisprowrestling.com, and the St. Louis Wrestling Community at stlwrestling.livejournal.com. And be sure to check out the TV show, STLWC.blip.tv. We'll see ya next time.